I was watching the news last night, and that was one of the lead stories about the bats dying. What's happening?
Well, I think it is a lead story. I think it happened last year as well. I think what's happening is this warming trend is confusing the bats at times while they are in their hibernacular in the caves and places where mine shafts and so on that have been abandoned, where the bats are trying to spend the winter, where it's not freezing, but it's cool, and they don't burn up a lot of energy, and then they hang in these places in a state of torpor. In other words, they're not doing any real moving around to speak of. They're just hanging there. Their temperature might be in the 40s, and they're trying to make it through until warm weather when the insects are in the air and they have something to eat, something to catch. And they're not thinking that out, but that's the cycle that they have evolved to meet and one that keeps them around. Last couple of years, strange things have happened. We had a tough summer the year before this last summer for bats with lots and lots of rain. And when it's raining, the insects get knocked right down out of the air when pelting rain is coming down in the evening. And that impacts on their ability to catch things and have abundant fat when they go into the winter. Also, if you think of the fall before this, we had situations where warm weather extended right out into what would be cold weather. So we had bats flying very, very late. And that's not good for saving energy either. Then we had warm spells during the winter. And if you listen to some of our shows, we were commenting on this last spring. We were commenting that the bats were out, that people were reporting bats down in patches of snow, right. Bats stuck on the side of their house that got caught in changing weather to the cold and died there. We had lots of calls about bats and checking them for rabies. And I took my St. Rose class out to Five Rivers, and we were watching the bats flying along the stream there and over the ponds. And if there were any insects out, they were very, very few. It was cold. But they were slowly going around over the water. It's like in March, and it was still cold. And you could see that these bats seemed to be hurting and looking for something to eat and flying around when they should not have been flying around. And there were not one or two, but there were many of them flying over that stream bed and the Five Rivers ponds. So we talked about that, and I think that we've got some repeat kinds of problems here. And that the real culprit for them is the weather. It is the changes in the weather. And like polar bears have problems with the changes, I think the bats are also having some problems, at least certain kinds of bats. Then a little fungus problem has popped up. And we have isolated these bats, and we have found three different fungi on them. And they are common fungi. Ones that are well known before, and they are in caves anyway. They're in the soil. They grow on plants. You can get them off of rocks. There are a wide variety of things that they're in, and they also can be opportunistic, and that if there's an ability to grow on an animal or plant, there's food and so on there, the right conditions, they'll grow. And there is a peculiar little effect that they have. They grow on the snout of the hibernating bat, and they form a white circle of fungus around that snout. Mycelia and so on grow out of there, and it looks like a cottony area around the nose. Other cases, it's more caked on, and it comes off fairly easily. So we've looked at it histologically. I have found that it's growing on that outer layer of the skin, that keratinized epithelial cells that are no longer really alive. That's where they are, is right on that outer layer. That's what they're coming off of. Now, I've only seen a few of them histologically, so there may be some in which they invade into the nose or get into a small nick or cut. And in the weakened condition that these bats are in, from the various stresses, nutritional stresses, weather stresses, and so on, that are drawing them out, the fungus may be growing on there much more luxuriantly than it would in thoroughly healthy bats with functioning immune systems. So we know that's there, but we know that it is the minority of bats that have the fungus. We're also getting some bats in from outdoors, little brown bats, that are, you know, running out of gas, found in houses, found in garages, found in the snow there is around. they're coming in and they're not showing a fungus, but they certainly are in poor physical condition, right down to where you would think there would be starvation. Fat supplies are gone or nearly gone. Now, of course, if you're out flying around and you get caught in a cold snap, the fact that you have a little bit of fat left is not going to be too helpful. Because if you go from the 40s and 50s down to the 20s and you get caught in it or colder, it's not going to take long to kill a bat that is exposed outdoors or on the side of a house or some other place where the cold really gets to them. So I think that's it. I think the problem is primarily global warming. There may be other secondary things going on. For example, most of this is happening or being documented in the Hudson Valley area, places like Kingston, Schoharie, Thatcher Park area outside of Albany, over into Vermont, where there are caves and places where both people and bats go, people to see what's going on in caves and people who love bats and are looking at them. So they're seeing death and decreases in population. So I think this is at least year two of problems. Now, here we are at the start of February. So it's a long way to go yet before one would anticipate a lot of insects in the air and hopefully healthy enough bats to fly around and catch them. So we've got February to go. We'll probably have March to go, depending on what the weather is. Let's hope it's not like last year with lots of snow and cold and freezing, which would be tough on bats with depleted energy supplies and other kinds of problems. Now, this may well have happened in the past, too, maybe in the evolutionary experience of bats. But it is kind of a new phenomenon to me to see this kind of weather all winter, as evidenced by the ice problems that we have for ice fishing. And so this could be tough on them. Now we're going to look at PCBs because we have the Hudson River here. We've had PCB problems, although the PCBs are coming down in the environment in general. We've been pretty successful in that battle of shutting off the PCBs. But PCBs concentrate in lipids. So as fat is mobilized, so does DDT and chlordane, a variety of things will be in lipids, including mercury. So we're looking at toxics in them as well to see if that could be contributory. But when you take all these things, some fungus infections and maybe some elevated PCBs here and there, all these things that are important but secondary, I believe the real problem is the climate change, the global warming. There are plenty of people out there that don't believe in global warming. They're not polar bears.
Or bats.
Or bats. But we're impacting, and this is just another way that we're impacting on our environment.